SF Signal Episode 68, ReaderCon Roundup. This is the SF Signal Podcast, as powered by the Functional Nerds, which is me. And sometimes John and Elio. Tonight, we are talking about ReaderCon. And for those who don't know, ReaderCon is a very literary con. There's no art show, no costumes, no gaming, not really any media involved. It's like the anti-San Diego Comic-Con, right? I mean, would that be a fair comparison, that's guys?
Pretty accurate.
It is, yeah.
And a couple of, or actually three or four folks actually went to ReaderCon, and so we decided to ask them to come on and talk a little bit about it. So let's just say hello to everybody. First off, Jamie Todd Rubin.
Hello, Jamie Todd Rubin, science fiction writer and blogger. I do the Wayward Time Traveler column for SF Signal and Vacation in the Golden Age on my own blog, jamietoddrubin.com.
Very cool. And Jeff Patterson.
Hi, Jeff Patterson. I blog at Gravity Lens at baddaystudio.com.
And then Mr. John Ginsberg Stevens.
Yep. I, too, am an SF Signal columnist for the weekly column, The Bellowing Ogre, and I have a website, www.airdadogre.blogspot.com, that's about to change to an exciting new blog address that I have. That's me.
Very cool. Now, ReaderCon has a program. Is it two tracks of panels and discussions, and then you've got author readings, solo talks, all that kind of good stuff. Coffee clutches, or however you say that. Let's just talk a little bit about your experiences, what you liked, what you didn't like, and your overall thoughts on the whole convention. Why don't you go first, John?
Sure. ReaderCon is my favorite convention, and because it focuses on the literature, the small number of tracks might seem a little limiting, but actually it allows you to do stuff like talk to people, spend time in the dealer's room without guilt, and actually really focus on what's being discussed. It's very much a con about discussing literature, discussing issues in the genre and outside of the genre, and actually connecting people, and that's what's really exciting about it. It's not a large con ratio of writers to fans is pretty high. And that means you get to spend a lot of time with writers like, you know, Chip Delaney. You can sit down to a table with him, with 10 other people, and talk to him for an hour. So it's really a con for connecting with literary figures, and that's, I think, what makes it really great.
So who all did you connect with?
Who did I talk to? Chip Delaney for a little while.
Oh, we lost him.
And we knew that was going to happen. His cell phone was dying. Let's switch over to Jeff. What were your thoughts? I mean, how did it go for you?
Well, what I've always liked about ReaderCon is the fact that the subject matter tends to be a bit more hefty than at a lot of other conventions. There's a lot of discussion on philosophy and religion and the impact of technology. There was a one panel that I didn't get to go to that dealt with the fact that since death no longer acts as like the great big black threat in a lot of genre fiction, it's sort of been replaced by permanent physical injury. Characters that become, handicapped or crippled in some way. I would really like to have seen that, because that is something that's very, very true. You get these very, esoteric type subject matters there. And the readings are always fun. And people giving, essays. And once in a while, you'll get like a book launch. Like, I know John Joseph Adams has had some group readings from some of his anthologies there. But yeah, this is, I think I figured out I've been to 19 of the 22 of them so far, and it's been pretty consistent. I really haven't had a letdown.
And this year there was, who was it, Peter Straub and Caitlin Kiernan were the guests?
That's next year.
That's next year. Who was this year's?
This year was Gardner Dozois and Jeff Ryman.
Wow. So let me just throw this out there, that this con was last weekend, right?
Yes.
They have already updated their website for next year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they do every year. You can already buy memberships for next year. The flyers for next year were already out.
Now, that's the other thing, is that the Burlington Marriott, not enough can be said about them, because
ReaderCon jumped around to a couple different hotels in its history, and it's been there. It's got to be at the Marriott for at least 12 years now, if not longer. And it's perfect. It's almost the perfect size. There was a couple of years where it felt a little bit crowded, but this was not one of them.
So. Man, you said Burlington?
Burlington, Mass. Yeah.
So you don't need to bring a coat. They've got them there.
Oh, wah, wah, wah.
Jamie.
Well, you know, I have to agree with pretty much everything that's been said so far. One thing I wanted to mention was that I think Rose Fox organized the whole event this year and worked really hard on it, and it was just brilliant. It is my favorite convention, and it is, as some of the other guys were saying, some of the subjects are a bit more esoteric, but it's great because you can sit on these panels, and it's the one convention that I go to where I feel challenged. I go to this convention and I feel underread, and I generally think I'm pretty well read in the genre, but I feel absolutely underread going to one of these panels and going to this convention. And it's great because you kind of can discover areas that you want to learn more about, and become better educated in and things like that. And it's also very much about the people who are there. I mean, I've met a lot of, I think it might have been John who said that the ratio of pro writers to fans is pretty good, and you do get a lot of FaceTime with people, and you sit in the pub and chat with people, and it's remarkable, like the stuff that you can learn and what it's like to see. A lot of my friends are not science fiction people, and what I've said to them about ReaderCon especially is that it's like getting called to spring training with the Yankees and being able to throw a ball around with those guys. It's, you know, you're right in the middle of it, and it's they're not going to go easy on you. It's there's a lot of good stuff there, but it's just great people to be around, and it's a great convention to be a part of.
With or without the steroids.
That's right. That's hey, right. With or without.
It's got to be mentioned here too. Jamie moderated his first panel.
I did. I actually, the Thursday night I participated in my first panel, and Friday night I moderated my first panel, and it was on the hidden history of science fiction, and I had Barry Malzberg and Daryl Schweitzer and Eileen Gunn and Fred Lerner on the panel. And
what was the topic?
It was the hidden history of science fiction.
And that's a terrifying lineup. I mean, that's
that is a terrifying, yeah. And my prowess as or lack thereof as moderator came through pretty quickly when in the first few minutes of the available the video may be available on Scott Edelman's YouTube channel. The first few minutes of the panel, Barry Malzberg noted that Michael Dearda was in the audience and immediately pulled him into the discussion. So.
I was at a panel at World Fantasy where they essentially, you know, the people up on the panel were talking to the people in the crowd because there was a couple people in the crowd who knew more about the topic, and they just kept going to them. So, I mean, that tends to happen.
It was great to be on that panel because it's something that I'm really interested in. You know, some of the stuff that I write about on the Wayward Time Traveler column. But also, I kind of felt in a little over my head with those, that was a great panel, great group of people to have on that panel. And it was a good learning experience. I think I decided for now, I like being on a panel as a participant more than I like moderating. And I have to say that I was watching Paul DeFilippo very carefully because he seems like the perfect panelist. He's so good I was on a panel with him and he's just so good at it. I told him that I was going to model my future panel behavior on him.
Well, you know, I tell you what, as far as moderating anything goes, you know, I have to moderate this podcast each and every week. And I find that the easiest way to you know, maintain control is just to remind the people calling in that I can hang up on them.
Yes, it's easy, I think, when you have that power. I didn't have quite that power. I mean, I could have said that, I suppose, but...
No, when you're sitting there in front of them, there's nothing you can do except, you know...
Yeah. Well, the other thing I was surprised about was that this was a, you know, I'm new to this thing, so this was a Friday night, 9 p.m. panel on a Friday night.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay, you know, there'll be four or five people in the audience. It was standing room only. It was standing room only in that room, and that really surprised me too. So I was glad to do it. And it was a good experience, and I was very relieved when it was done.
what's your takeaway from this year's ReaderCon? I mean, what stood out in your mind?
A couple things I want to mention. He mentioned Scott Edelman's videos. Scott Edelman's page, which I think you can find a link to on Locus. I don't know if there was one on SF Signal. I may have missed it. He has videos of a lot of panels that he was present at. Two other things. Jeff Hecht at New Scientist did a great little article on it. I saw him walking around. He did a wonderful article that's primarily aimed at non-science fiction fans on the New Scientist site. And it wasn't until I saw Jamie's post that I realized that after I had left the following day, Neil Gaiman showed up unannounced and wandered around a bit. And he has a wonderful post on his site. One thing I have noticed with ReaderCon throughout the years is that there tends to be trends when it comes to the subject matter. The last 10 years, obviously, we've seen a lot more urban fantasy discussion. There was a bit of a slipstream discussion this year. There wasn't a lot of new weird or anything. I always personally, and this is a strictly personal opinion, always find that space opera and hard SF tend to get, I don't want to say marginalized because that's too strong of a word, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of tools in the toolbox in those subgenres that seem to require as much discussion as there are in other subgenres. I don't quite know why, and it's something I've been meaning to think about at length. But regardless, even with that, you know, very minor omission, it's always thought-provoking. Even if it's a column about stuff that I have never read or have no interest in reading, I always find the discussion to be generally very, very thought-provoking when it comes to both the mechanics and the result of writing in specific styles or using specific tools.
Very cool. Well, we lost John Ginsberg Stevens due to his phone dying, but we gained a Jay Garman. Hi, Jay.
Hi. That is a terrible trade-off, I have to say. You can do much better than that.
And we've never seen them in the room together either. So.
Ooh. There you go.
But
so
Jamie knows what I look like now. Jamie has met me.
Yes.
So Jay, essentially what I asked the guys was, you know, tell us a little bit about your ReaderCon experience. What stood out to you? You know, who'd you get to talk to? That kind of stuff.
My ReaderCon experience was extremely brief because it just overlapped with the business trip. I was only there for Thursday night, which is sort of like the almost ReaderCon night. They have some abbreviated programming their first night that's open to the public, so I didn't have to pay, and I thought that was great. It just sort of gets the crowd warmed up. And what shocked me is I've read about ReaderCon for years. It's like, you know, one of the great New England conventions. It's one of the great lit-centric conventions out there. And it was a lot smaller and more intimate than I expected for such a revered and well-spoken and well-attended convention. And when I was there, I got to see all of two panels, one of which Jamie Todd Rubin was on. And they only grapple with these very small subjects, one being the Scott Meredith Agency, which is arguably the most important literary agency in the history of science fiction. And to hear some of the panelists say it, all of literary publishing of all time. And then the other one was just about sort of the general transition between producer and consumer in the internet age. So, you know, nothing very heady or thought-provoking at all in those two subjects. So as a guy that sort of wandered in off the street in just to sample this convention, it was not at all what I expected.
Wow. So you were only there the one night, but did you feel like there was a lot going on that night? Or
there was an energy to it, a lot like and this is probably going to fall on deaf ears with our audience, a lot like right before the kickoff at a football game. There's something big about to happen, and it hasn't happened yet. And all the panels are just sort of infused with this, okay, we're warming up, and we're going through the motions right now, and it's great, but tomorrow it's really going to get big.
You're saying that our listeners wouldn't know about a football game? Are you playing to the whole nerd stereotype there?
I'm saying our listeners who pay nothing for this podcast would be too cheap to pay to attend the football game.
You know what? Two people can go to a football game, have a couple of beers, a couple of hot dogs, and have a really good time for, you know, I mean, it's only like a second mortgage on the house these days.
For a professional football game, yes. For a single mortgage, you can go to a college game. And I'm told that high schools also stage football, but I'm not able to confirm this phenomenon.
High school football. I remember that. It was so sad.
Can I throw one more thing in here, Patrick?
Yeah.
Something that does need to be noted is that the dealer's room of ReaderCon is historically known as the bookshop, and it is nothing but people that sell books. And it's such an unusual experience for congoers to walk into a convention dealer's room and not be assaulted by T-shirts, plush Cthulhus, and TARDIS replicas. Because it's nothing but books, new books, used books, small press publishers, a lot of vintage, really gorgeous vintage hardcover editions of things that are, you know, signed and cost, you know, $80 to $100, and you just want to drool over them.
I want to drool over the TARDIS replicas.
Yeah. Then go to San Diego.
To Jeff's point, ReaderCon, for not being as large as I expected, was a con that knows what it's about. And as a guy that runs or helps run the local regional convention here in my hometown, that's kind of refreshing, because a lot of us at the smaller level, the sub-four-figure attendee level, really struggle with what to make your convention about, what to do and what not to do. And ReaderCon, it's in the name. This is a book convention. It's very specific. And I think they gain real strength from knowing exactly what they're about and what they're offering. And that sort of goes to Jeff's point about the bookshop. I'd never seen a dealer's room like that. I wish it had been open on Thursday night.
No, I know. And that's the other thing. They started doing the Thursday night thing a few years ago. And ReaderCon's a convention I've always thought should be a four-day convention. And I'm sort of glad they made it one. I just wish I could get up there for the whole weekend more often.
That reminds me of a question for Jamie. Jamie, do you happen to know how many people were there?
Funny you should ask that, because I thought I heard someone tell me it was around 800. And I don't know if that was included panelists and stuff, or if it was 800 plus panelists and things like that. But I the number that I heard was around 800. I kind of agree with Jay that, you know, that first night, it is sort of the getting ready. But I'll tell you, Friday I was wiped out by the end of the day. I mean, you know, there's just, you're looking from going from panel to panel, and there's things at the same time that you want to do both of them. And, you know, so if I knew Scott Edelman was going to one thing, I might go to something else, because I know at least he was going to be recording it, so I'd be able to see it later. But it's, you know, it's really one of those conventions where remember to eat, remember to take a breath, at least for me, because I was just going and going and going. And I have to mention that there was a record set at this ReaderCon. There's a contest held every Saturday evening called the Kirk Poland Bad Prose Contest, and they get writers up on stage and they're given some, it's basically they read a piece of text, a piece from a piece of bad prose from a real publication. Usually it's pretty old. And then they're supposed to finish it, the people on stage, and they've already pre-done their stuff, so they're just going to read it out loud, and the audience has to guess which is the real one versus which ones are the ones that were made up by the writers on stage. And so it's this big, a lot of people attend this event. It's a big, big deal thing. And for 22 years, there's been, you know, somebody in the on stage has won, and this year, for the first time ever, the audience won. The audience got all of the right or had more points at the end than any of the writers on stage. So it was a pretty big deal there. It was also a lot of fun. It's really, really funny.
What I want to do, and anybody out there who's running a convention, Jay, that's going to bring any readers in, Jay, or writers, Jay. So if you're familiar with Food Network, they have a couple different shows that I really like. One is Iron Chef America, and the other one is Chopped. And I want to do like a combination of those, but for writers. And what I want to do is have a secret ingredient, and you get four writers up there, and you give them an hour. And here's your secret ingredient. You have to write a short story that includes this ingredient. And then you have other writers sitting there critiquing those writings. And, you know, so you got your short story, and you get an hour to do that. And then someone gets chopped. Boom, you're off the panel. And then you got three people left, and then you got to give them another secret ingredient. They got to write another story. And then, you know, you critique those. Boom, two down. And then when it's all done, you know, you've got your iron writer.
Yeah, but you've got to have them write the story while, you know.
Yeah, no, they got to sit right there.
They got to be pedaling an exercise bike or something.
No, they've got their
a physical challenge.
No. They got their laptop right there. They can have their iPod with their you know earbuds in, and they have an hour to write a story based on. And you pull something random from a basket. You know, Optimus Prime. 20-sided die.
Oh, it's gonna be like it's got like Optimus Prime, a unicorn. And man's inhumanity to man. Go.
Right. And you give them one. You give them one for each part. And then, like, you know, at some point you pull out, like, celery root.
What happened to us, man? It used to be about the fandom, you know?
So this is obviously a very small con. It's much you've got a more tight-knit community for ReaderCon.
Improv con. It'll be the four of us and
No, I'm talking about ReaderCon. I'm talking about ReaderCon. So you know, ReaderCon is tight. You've got 800 to 1,000 people. So that's, you know, less than half of what I think World Fantasy is. Usually they sell like 2,000 memberships for World Fantasy, I think. And that too is a more literary focused con, but not to the extent of ReaderCon. So how many years have you gone, Jeff?
This was my 19th attending. I started with number two.
Jay?
This first.
Jamie?
This was my third.
And all of you, I mean, thinking about going back again? I know Jeff is. What about you, Jamie?
Oh yeah.
I will be there next year unless for some reason I can't make it. I will try and be there for every future ReaderCon that there is. I really love the convention.
Very cool. And then, Jay, are you thinking that if you can swing another business trip next year?
I can probably arrange to align a business trip that overlaps with that Thursday and Friday and then just not go home on time. I can probably pull that off. The question is, am I also going to do the same thing with Boscone? Because I travel regularly to Boston. So I got to decide, you know, which one do I want to cash in that chip for, ReaderCon or Boscone?
So, final
what
thoughts.
About you, Patrick? When are you going to make it out here to the East Coast?
It's difficult to go to the East Coast. You know, I used to work for a company who they did bonded warehousing, and they came out to California, and we saw them very, very infrequently at our warehouse. But I went to work for them, and I found out all their stuff is on the East Coast because there's just such a dense population. And so that's where all their employees were. That's, you know, when you head west, we just don't have that dense of a population. And yeah. So you guys have all the cons. I mean, I made that map, the interactive map, to find essentially what happened was I sat down. I'm like, everybody's talking about all these conventions that they're going to. I really want to go to a convention, but where are any near me? And so I start trolling the internet looking for conventions, and I start putting them on a Google map. And there's none around me. There's one. You know, it's Mile High Con. And that's it. All the rest of them are out of state, and so essentially I'm looking at $1,000 a pop.
Well, you have to start Lack of Oxygen Con is what you have to do.
The Lack of Oxygen Con, yes.
Every time someone tries to read one of their stories, they just start losing their breath halfway through. You know?
It's funny that you mentioned me starting things because apparently three of our other podcast panelists were discussing something on Twitter today, and this is Fred, Lisa, and Paul Weimer. And they were discussing the Hester effect. And this
joke in there somewhere.
This is apparently when I mentioned how my e-reader is really cool because now I can buy books immediately and not read them. They're calling that the Hester effect, because apparently Fred now has an Android device with an e-reader on it, and he's been buying books like crazy and not reading them. And, you know, it's the new to-be-read pile. And I said, well, my to-be-read pile, I also call the bookcase. Anyway, so, you know, again, this kind of reiterates a little bit of what we talked about last week. You know, especially if you're on the East Coast, you're going to find a convention nearby. I'm sure if you went to your local bookstore, you went to your local comic book store, you will find conventions, even small ones, you know, that you can go to, and you will meet people like yourself who are interested in the books that you're interested in, the movies you're interested in, the TV shows you're interested in. And, you know, you'll find the people who speak your language. Right, guys?
Yeah, that's true. We have a very, very small convention. I think this is the sixth year for it, right on the Massachusetts-Connecticut border, called PyCon, which is a very tiny convention. I think they have Joe Walton as guest of honor this year. They always do a very good job, but it's right in the chunk of New England that people tend to forget about, and so it tends to be a smaller con, but it's highly recommended.
Wherever there is a community of fans, believe me, you will find a con.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for coming on. This has been great. You know, I know you guys are looking forward to ReaderCon next year. And, you know, maybe if DiNardo gives me a raise, I can afford to go to a convention back east.
You're going to have to convert those bagels to airline miles.
Wouldn't that be awesome if they did take bagels? We'd all be swimming in airline tickets. Do not touch that dial. Our own Jessica Strider has a new author spotlight coming at you right now.
Hi, this is Jessica Strider from scififanletter.blogspot.com with this month's new author spotlight. If you're a fan of apocalyptic fiction and liked Parable of the Sower by Octavia Butler, Homeland by Paul William Roberts, or Brown Girl in the Ring by Nalo Hopkinson, then check out Will McIntosh. He's the author of Soft Apocalypse. The dust jacket for Soft Apocalypse reads, "What happens when resources become scarce and society starts to crumble? As the competition for resources pulls America's previously stable society apart, the new normal is a soft apocalypse. This is how our world ends, with a whimper instead of a bang. New societal structures and tribal connections spring up across America as the previous social structures begin to dissolve. Soft Apocalypse follows the journey across the southeast of a tribe of formerly middle-class Americans as they struggle to find a place for themselves and their children in a new, dangerous world that still carries the ghostly echoes of their previous lives." Thanks for listening.
And thank you, Jessica. We appreciate that. Another great new author spotlight from Jessica Strider. Hey, there's a couple things you should be doing. Number one, you should be following John D on Twitter, twitter.com/sfsignal. You should also visit sfsignal.com each and every day. There's tons and tons of content on there. And SF Signal just turned 8 years old. You should go check out that post. John D wrote up a nice post featuring all the different contributors and the things that we've contributed to the site over the last year. So thanks to John D, and happy birthday to SF Signal. If you're looking for me online, I am at twitter.com/ATFMB, or ATFMB.com is my blog. Visit iTunes, give us a couple stars, write us a review, that helps boost our signal there. Tell your friends about the podcast, that helps as well. If you have any thoughts, comments, suggestions, anything like that, please feel free to leave us a message on our voicemail line, 720-277-9082. That gives you 3 minutes, and Google runs that. And come back on Thursday for our interview with Gary K. Wolf from the Cood Street podcast and reviewer for Locus Magazine. So that should be fun. Other than that, I'm out of here. See you guys later. Bye.